This is Guildcast, episode 27, for May 6, 2006. Hey everyone, welcome back to Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and in this episode I'll be talking about one of the most difficult areas in the game, the Underworld. I'll be going over more of the story of the Underworld and a breakdown of each quest available, as well as the creatures that lurk down there. I'll also go into the Ranger Trapper build and what that consists of, while Lady Sinea will touch more on the Smite runs and what they are. First off, I wanted to say a quick hi to Odin Hyrule, who just turned 17 the other day, and he asked that I mention him on the show, so happy birthday, Odin. Also, I got a couple voicemails that I wanted to play really quick.
Sean, that was a great show. This is Legolas Elven King. That is my screen name. And I want to let you know that I think the Mesmers and me really needed to know more about that class. So thanks a lot. You guys are doing a great job. And keep up the good work. And I look forward to many more shows. So thanks a lot, and keep it up again. Okay, bye.
Hey, Sean, I was just wondering if there's a way to get from Cantha back to Tyria, or if you can just go from Tyria to Cantha. And that's on a Canthan character that you made and started in Cantha. Thanks for the show. Bye.
Thanks for those calls, guys. And to address the last question, yes, there is a way to take your Canthan characters over to Tyria. It's from a quest called Chaos and Kryda that you get from Guardsman Chain Po in Kanang's center. It's a very easy quest. You go out to the Benjunkan Pier, you talk to Brother Menlo, and then you talk to a guy named Armian who's standing nearby, and you book a passage for Tyria. Then once you get to Tyria, you'll be in a new area called Lion's Gate, which is right outside of Lion's Arch. You talk to the gatekeeper, Lion Guard Nero, and you're in. That's basically it. Simple as that. Of course, to be able to do this, you'll need your Chapter 1 and Chapter 2 accounts merged also. This last week has been pretty fun for me, as I've had more of a chance to play through Cantha with my new Ranger. See, originally, I had made her, and then I made a Ritualist, and I concentrated on getting each one of my Tyrian characters over to Cantha as well. Then I started doing a few quests here and there with each character, and I even brought my new Canthan Ranger over to Tyria and did some missions over there, like Delesio Seaboard and the Divinity Coast. And I've only recently started actually advancing my Ranger a bit more throughout Cantha, but not nearly as much as a lot of other people, from what I've heard. Well, it turns out, while I was mucking about doing this, I noticed several people were actually beating the game already. And this is, you know, days into the release, which I thought was amazing. I was fascinated by this at first. But I didn't really realize that it was done with Prophecies characters that were brought over, and they were going straight through the missions and not doing any quests. Now, that's not to take away from the scope of this feat, of course. I still think it's amazing. So I was going to start making a compilation of the endgame armors, describing each type and what materials are used for each one. But then I noticed that GuildWiki has pretty much beaten me to it, so I'll take the easy route and just put up a link to those pages on the show notes. For those of you concerned with the latest and the greatest, I've seen some funny new lingo in the game, and it's basically the shortened nicknames for the Ritualist and Assassin, now known as the Rit and Sin. It took me a second to get Sin at first, but I guess it's better than the alternative choice. This week also brought about some inevitable bug fixes to the newest chapter. Mostly ArenaNet fixed little things here and there with AI and quest problems, but one of the ones that I'm most thankful for them fixing was that annoyingly loud clicking every time a spell was interrupted. They actually turned down the volume on that clicking a bit, which I'm so happy about. Also, to help ease the pain of the lack of collector's editions, ArenaNet decided to include a special new gift for those who stick it out and still buy the CE. It's a mini Kunavang, which is that dragon that wiped everyone out at the end of the preview weekend back in March. It's just like the other pets that players get for their one-year anniversary, but this is a miniature dragon instead. It's pretty sharp. You should check it out. It's on the GuildWars.com website. They have a link to it. The underworld is one of the realms of the gods, the realm of Grenth, god of death. It's a very advanced gaming area, and mobs are very strong there. After being granted access to the underworld by paying 1 platinum to the voice of Grenth, when your region has the favor of the gods, you will find yourself next to several ghosts, of whom one will offer you the quest Clear the Chamber. It's recommended to first kill all the monsters in the surrounding area before accepting this quest. As soon as you accept the quest, several doors will open, allowing you to further explore the underworld, after you have defeated the hordes of grasping darknesses that will swarm you as soon as the doors are opened. The underworld is one of the few places where you can find storm bows, ghostly staves, eternal bows, eternal shields, and the highly coveted globs of ectoplasm used for the fissure armor. There are basically 8 parts to the underworld. There's the Hall, Ice Wastes, Forgotten Vale, Labyrinth, Bone Pits, Twin Serpent Mountains, Spawning Pools, and the Chaos Plains. The Hall is an empty hall that has a locked door with shining light behind it. Some players suspect it is the Hall of Grenth himself, although this is not official information. The Ice Wastes is a vast area of glaciers and ice in the northeastern region of the underworld. This is the realm of the Reaper of the Ice Wastes, and it is overrun with smite crawlers and cold fire knights. The Ice Wastes have only 1 entrance and exit in the southwest that leads to the Labyrinth. The Labyrinth is a crypt filled with narrow corridors in the center area of the underworld. Players adventuring into the underworld start in the southern part of the Labyrinth and usually make their way north and west to the Reaper of the Labyrinth. The Labyrinth is plagued with several groups of the dreaded Bladed Ataxes, or Aixes, however some people pronounce it differently, and they also have the occasional Dying Nightmare. Once the quest Clear the Chamber is taken, without which the locked doors will not open, the place will be swarming with grasping darknesses. This is why adventure groups will clear the path up to the closed doors first and take on the quest so that they do not have to fight the Ataxes and darknesses at the same time. The Labyrinth leads southwest into the Forgotten Vale, northeast into the Ice Wastes, and south into the Twin Serpent Mountains. Now, the Twin Serpent Mountains is a rugged mountainous area south of the Labyrinth starting area. The area has a wondrous sight of 2 gigantic serpents flowing all through the mountains. One is silver and the other is bronze, and their heads are below the Monument of Grenth, where the Reaper of the Twin Serpent Mountains can be found. The area is filled with obsidian behemoths, as well as occasional groups of charged blacknesses. The area leads north to the Labyrinth and southeast to the Chaos Plains. The Reaper of the Twin Serpent Mountains tells the story of this area. Long ago, the god of death was challenged to a duel by 2 brothers. Grenth was so angered by these 2 mortals that instead of simply granting them the sweet peace of death, he turned them into twin serpents and forced them to serve in the rift for the rest of eternity. The Forgotten Vale is a valley west of the Labyrinth and the starting point in the underworld. There is a small village of tortured spirits that lives in the Vale, and they even have their own mayor. The Vale is supposed to be supervised by the Reaper of the Forgotten Vale, but when players enter the underworld, the Reaper is imprisoned by the Terrorweb Driders, and the Vale is overrun with grasping darknesses. And now the Bone Pits is one of the major areas of the underworld. It's the area immediately east of the starting point and the Labyrinth, but is only accessible through an entrance in the northwestern part of the Chaos Plains. The Bone Pits are apparently the domain of tortured spirits in the underworld. The Reaper of the Bone Pits presides over this domain and administers punishment to those deemed by Grenth as deserving it. However, in the absence of the Reaper, who is imprisoned by the Terrorweb Driders, as I mentioned, this gruesome fate seems to have engulfed more than those deserving it. The pits are recognizable by the large pit in the center that has 3 giant bony tentacles jutting out of it. The pits are inhabited by 2 types of necromancer foes, dead collectors and dead threshers. In addition, there are chained souls continuously spawning in the area. They provide the dead collectors with a constant supply of dead bodies for their corpse exploitation skills. The spawning pools are a large area composed of wide stone corridors filled with brown mud in the southwestern region of the underworld. This is the realm of the Reaper of the Spawning Pools, and it is overrun with terror webbed riders and charged blacknesses. Their lethal nuking-spiking combo makes this one of the hardest areas in the underworld. The spawning pools have only one entrance and exit in the east that leads to the Chaos Plains. Now, the Chaos Plains are barren, haunted plains found in the southeastern corner of the underworld. The area is the domain of the Reaper of the Chaos Plains. It is notable for the giant chasms that exude a blue light and which cross the flat, barren land. The Chaos Plains are haunted by the Masters of Chaos, Mesmers. Every now and then, players will come across a single banished Dream Rider. Killing such a creature may be easy, but it will trigger a spawn of 3 Mind Blade Spectres. Killing those will spawn 6 of their kind, and killing the 6 will spawn 9. The entire process can be very long and daunting, especially since the Spectres use Migraine to slow down spellcasting, which includes damage or healing spells also, and conjure Phantasm they'll cast to give a -5 health degeneration to a person in your party. And because of the number of Mindblade Spectres that you'll have to fight, Conjure Phantasm will usually be on all party members for the entire battle. Larger groups of 3 banished Dream Riders and a Wailing Lord can also be found in this area. This area leads to the Twin Serpent Mountains in the northwest, the Bone Pits in the northeast, and the Spawning Pools in the west. Now, since the Underworld is one of the hardest places in Guild Wars, make sure your team is well prepared. Here's some tips and info that will hopefully make your visit a much longer one. Never take a quest without discussing so with your entire team first. This is one of the biggest mistakes common to happen in any UW run, since it only takes one person to screw up the whole team. And it's smart to make sure that everyone on your team has some sort of voice chat, like Ventrilo or TeamSpeak. This will aid your party greatly in situations that require consultation with your entire team quickly. Even if a player doesn't have a mic, they should still download one of these voice programs so that they can hear the rest of the team. It just makes things a little easier as far as communication goes. Never join a UW party if you may have to leave eventually without letting the rest of the team know first. The Underworld is a vast area which can take several hours to clear, so if that's the intention of your group is to clear the whole area, just make sure that you let them know if you have to leave soon. Make sure you talk with your team about what skills you should bring before you leave for the Underworld. If you have 2 team members with similar skills instead of having 2 separate builds, it will most likely hurt your team more than help it. And it's a wise idea to stock up on Phantom Keys before entering the Underworld. Many people consider the keys worth more than the actual loot that comes from these chests, so you might be able to buy them from players at a much cheaper price, and you may decide that you don't want to buy any keys at all. There are usually around 5 chests in the Underworld. The locations of the chests will sometimes vary, and sometimes 2 chests will spawn in a single section, other times none will. Now in the Underworld, Rangers can charm the Black Widow after completing any of the quests given by a Reaper, except the Reaper of the Labyrinth. The spider will spawn near the Reaper after a person in your party has accepted the reward. If you're not too concerned with experience, you should save all quest rewards in the case that you get a death penalty, due to the fact that rewards will remove your DP. The downside to this is if you die and can't be resurrected, you lose the possibility of collecting your rewards. If one of your party has taken the Restore the Monuments of Grenth quest, and have cleared the terror-webbed riders from a statue, you'll be able to teleport to and from that statue to any other statue in the Underworld, as long as you've cleared the terror-webbed riders from around that statue. You can use this to your advantage by teleporting behind enemies or cutting down the amount of walking to an area you already cleared, but want to venture to again for whatever reason. If the majority of your party members have died and their bodies are in an area with heavy amounts of enemies, you can use teleportation to take all of the party members in your group, including the dead ones, to the new location that you requested. But take note that teleporting will not bring dead allies back to life. It will just make it easier to resurrect them, since their bodies will spawn in the new location that you teleport to. And as far as Underworld quests, there are 10 in all, so I'll go over each one to help give you a better understanding of how to beat these difficult quests. The first one you see is in the Labyrinth, and it's given by the Lost Soul near the entrance. Although, in your quest log, it credits the Reaper of the Labyrinth as the quest giver, but he's actually the one that you get the reward from. And the name of that quest is Clear the Chamber, and it's worth 5,000 experience points. As soon as you accept this quest, three groups of Grasping Darknesses will spawn, one group of four to the southwest, and two groups of three each to the north. It will take a short while till the last group moves to the chamber. The Darknesses are not very dangerous, but can be difficult enemies if trying to fight several groups at once. If you haven't cleared the area of the bladed Ataxes, you have a serious problem. So it's best to first clear the nearby area before you take this quest. This is where many first-time visitors make a mistake and they instantly rush in to take a quest and they die. After you've killed the three groups of Grasping Darknesses, two passageways to the southwest and east and two doors to the north will open. You have to proceed through one of the doors, which opened, into another chamber where you'll find a statue of Grenth and three Terrorwebbed Riders. Advance very carefully. In addition to more large groups of Grasping Darknesses, there are several pairs of Ataxes patrolling this area. It's best to first go through the eastern door. You'll find two small groups of Ataxes and Darknesses there that can be taken out easily. The western door is guarded by a lot of Darknesses and more Ataxes, who will be very likely clustered so close together that you'll have to fight them all at once. It's not necessary to kill them to get to the Terrorwebs, so you can take the eastern entrance that I mentioned before if you want to just finish that quest. They block the passageway to some subsequent quests, though. Now, when you've killed the Terrorwebs, the Reaper of the Labyrinth will appear close to the statue of Grenth. Speak to him to claim your reward. Sometimes the nearby mobs stray and they come near the Reaper and may attack him, so it's wise to wipe out all nearby mobs before slaying the Terrorwebbed Riders so that the Reaper is not in danger. He has no chance against the Ataxes. Now be warned, it may be prudent to advise your party not to take the Unwanted Guest or the Escort of Souls quest before killing the Terrorwebbed Riders, and to explain to them the reason. It's absolutely lethal to take both the Unwanted Guests and Escort of Souls at the same time. The party will face certain failure. The first quest surrounds the party with vengeful Ataxes and destructive Terrorwebbed Riders, while the second quest gives the party fragile NPCs to escort out of the area. One meteor shower from the Driders and the NPCs will die, which will kick the party out of the underworld, and you don't want to do that. Now, all other underworld quests from here on are worth 10,000 experience points each. So, with the total of 9 that are worth 10,000 and the one that's worth 5,000, you have a total of 95,000 experience down in the underworld. And that's not even including the experience that you get from defeating the creatures down there, which, if you're level 20, you usually get around 100 experience for each major creature that you kill, like the Bladed Ataxes and the Terrorwebbed Riders. So that can really add up to a lot of experience if you clear the whole underworld. The quest you should get to unlock all Reapers down there is the Restore the Monuments of Grenth quest. It's given by the Reaper of the Labyrinth. You can take this quest on the side as you venture through the underworld. It doesn't spawn very disastrous spawns like some of the other quests, and it'll open many quests as each Reaper freed will offer new quests and facilitate travel. You'll need to travel to the location of each Reaper at a Monument of Grenth and defeat the group of three Terrorwebbed Riders spawned by the quest. Once they're defeated, the Reaper in that specific area will appear. As the quest suggests, once a Reaper is freed, you'll be able to speak to him and he will teleport you to any other Reaper that you have freed also. The Reapers have quests with great experience rewards, but be aware that taking any quests without consulting the party is unwise. Note that if you are going to venture far in the underworld, you might want to clear the surroundings of the statues of Grenth in the Forgotten Vale and Twin Serpent Mountains before taking this quest. The monsters in those areas are positioned so that the Terrorwebbs need to be killed first, if present, and the other monsters might attack the Reaper if it spawns. If any of the Reapers dies, your group dies, and you'll be sent out of the underworld. So be very careful with that. The quest Unwanted Guest is also given by the Reaper of the Labyrinth. Before accepting this quest, make sure you clear the entire labyrinth. make sure you don't have the Escort of Souls quest running concurrently, like I mentioned. After accepting this quest, 6 different groups will spawn throughout the labyrinth. Each group consists of 1 Keeper of Souls, 3 Terrorweb Driders, and 3 Vengeful Atax. Don't forget the Vengeful Atax before the Keeper of the Souls in their group is destroyed, since they're invulnerable to any attacks beforehand. Knockdowns and Cripple still affect the Ataxes, so it might be wise to use them if you have to fight the Ataxes. Kill the Terrorweb Driders if they are preventing you from safely reaching the Keeper of Souls. Once the Keeper of Souls is dead, the Vengeful Atax should also die instantly. If they do not, have the tank continue tanking while the rest of the party moves to a safe location. Once everyone is out of danger, have the tank follow so that the Vengeful Atax break aggro and die. If the tank is having difficulty keeping the Ataxes from attacking the Reaper after he shakes them off, he can always sacrifice himself, and once he's resurrected, he can simply accept the reward to remove the death penalty. If you're already able to teleport, teleport to anywhere, and the Ataxes will also break the aggro. The best approach to this quest is to first free both the Reaper of the Forgotten Vale and the Reaper of the Ice Wastes. Then accept the quest and use the teleport function to attack the Keeper of Souls from behind. And be sure to study the patrol patterns of the monsters if you aren't familiar with them. Another quest you get from the Reaper of the Labyrinth is Escort of Souls, where you need to escort the souls to Mayor Alighieri in the Forgotten Vale. The safest way to do this is to clear all the way to the Reaper of the Forgotten Vale, which is a short walk north of the Mayor, before taking any quests from the Reaper of the Labyrinth. There should be a pair of bladed Ataxes and 3 large groups of Grasping Darknesses along the way. There's also a group of Coldfire Knights and Stalking Knights that patrol near the Statue of Grenth, where the Reaper will appear. Take the quest Restore the Monuments of Grenth, which will spawn 3 Terrorweb Driders at the Forgotten Vale Monument. Destroy the Terrorwebs and speak to the Reaper of the Forgotten Vale, which appears after this. Have him teleport you back to the Reaper of the Labyrinth and take the quest. After you accept this quest, a group of 4 new souls will spawn and start to follow your party. At the same time, 2 groups of Mindblade Spectres will also spawn along the way to the Forgotten Vale, and 1 in the chamber where the party starts in the underworld. Teleport back to the Reaper of the Forgotten Vale and backtrack from there to the Labyrinth and kill the Mindblade Spectres. When you get near enough, the new souls will begin to follow you, and you can safely walk them to the Mayor for your reward. But be warned, protect the new souls at all costs. If even 1 of them is killed, your whole party will die and you'll have to transfer back to the last outpost you visited. And also remember the additional group of Mindblades which spawns in the starting chamber, as they will cause you trouble later if you try to do the Unwanted Guests quest. Another quest down there is Imprisoned Spirits, which is given by the Reaper of the Bone Pits in the Bone Pits. As soon as any member in your party takes this quest, the spirits will spawn by the large pit with the 3 giant bone arms sticking out of it. It's a short walk from the Reaper back to them, but hurry down. 3 groups of 3 Terrorweb Driders will spawn near the cave at the entrance to the bone pits. You need to rush past the spirits and face the driders before they attack the spirits, and also keep an eye on the chained souls that appear every now and then in the area. They're harmless, but because they're hostile, the spirits will run to attack them, and that'll slow you down even more. So as soon as a chained soul appears, have an elementalist or someone like that zap it. And to be extra precautious, have 1 party member take a quest while the rest of your party is at the location where the spiders spawn. Gathering the Terrorwebs in a tightly knit group will make destroying them much easier than fighting them one at a time. This requires good tanking. In the Forgotten Vale, you'll get a quest called Wrathful Spirits from the Reaper of the Forgotten Vale. To get to the Reaper of the Forgotten Vale, your party needs to clear the area of most of the Grasping Darknesses and Coldfire Knights in the area. The Reaper must be freed before the quest can be received, as with all the rest of these quests. As soon as you take the quest, the Wrathful Spirits will spawn. They're called Tortured Spirits, just like the NPCs you have to defend. They're pretty low level, they're level 15, but you can use Illusionary Weaponry with an illusion attribute level 14, and they do 38 points of armor-ignoring damage per hit. There are 5 groups total and 3 spirits per group. You want to avoid a group of 3 ganging up on one target due to the huge amount of damage that they can do. Make sure you defend the nearest villagers well, as the farther ones up will probably be wiped out before you get to them. Also make sure you wipe out all the groups, and make sure you get there's one group on top of the hill overlooking the Reaper, and then return to the Reaper for your reward. This quest is failed if none of the friendly tortured spirits survive, so make sure to at least defend and heal the nearest group of spirits so that one survives. Now there's a trick to avoid the possibility of failing this quest. The friendly spirits you need to protect will spawn to the area after you kill the Grasping Darknesses near the mayor. If you leave the first darkness group alive, some of the spirits won't spawn yet, and you can't fail the quest. Just remember to avoid aggroing the darknesses when fighting the wrathful spirits. Then after you've cleared the area of most of the wrathful spirits, you can go back and kill the darknesses. You don't need to hurry after this quest if you're trying to charm a Black Widow as a pet. The Black Widow spawns near the Reaper along with a chest, and it walks around in the nearby area. So you can use Charm Animal to capture it. And you only need to activate the skill in range, and the Black Widow will turn around and come towards you like it's going to attack you, like any other pet would do when you try to charm it. So make sure to inform your party that you're charming this animal, otherwise they might try to attack it. Now in the Ice Wastes, you'll talk to the Reaper of the Ice Wastes to get the quest Servants of Grenth. Once you activate this quest, Terrorwebbed Riders will spawn northeast. The wave will consist of 6 Terrorwebbed Riders, which will then break up into 2 smaller groups of 3 each. One small group will head towards the Ice King, while the others head toward the Reaper of the Ice Wastes. The Ice King has 4 level 28 Ice Elementals to assist, but they will fall quickly to the spider's dangerous fire spells. And there are 4 waves of 6 Terrorwebbed Riders total in this quest, so make sure your team is knowledgeable and prepared before taking this quest, as it's one of the most difficult in the underworld. You'll have a minute or two to complete each wave of spiders, and if you don't defeat them quickly, then the next wave will approach you, and you can quite easily be overwhelmed. The Demon Assassin quest is given by the Reaper of the Twin Serpent Mountains. As soon as you take this quest, the Reaper Slayer will spawn at the base of the mountain and hurry up the winding path. Go down to meet it and fight it. 2 groups of 2 Keepers of Souls each will be trailing behind it. If you can't take the Slayer down before the Keepers attack your party, your best bet is to dispose of the Keepers first. The fight may be long, but it's not really difficult. After killing the beast, return to the Reaper for your reward, or hold on to it to erase death penalty later on. In the Chaos Plains, you'll talk to the Reaper of the Chaos Plains to get the quest, the 4 Horsemen. 4 separate groups spawn across the Chaos Plains and make their way toward the Reaper of the Chaos Plains in 2 different stages. Each group consists of 1 Banished Dream Rider boss. And let's see if I can pronounce these names correctly. There's Gozer Doom, Khazad Doom, Marduk Doom, and Thulza Doom. And then there's also 3 Terrorwebbed Riders in that group also. During the first stage of the assault, the 4 groups proceed from their spawn point and merge into 2 larger groups about 1 radar's distance away from the Reaper. In the second stage of the assault, the 2 groups will perform a pincher attack on the Reaper, effectively forcing your party to fight the battle on 2 fronts. And the 10th and final quest of the underworld is called Terrorwebbed Queen, and you get it from the Reaper of the Spawning Pools. The Terrorwebbed Queen spawns together with 4 Obsidian Guardians. All 5 foes can cast Ward Against Harm, and the Guardians additionally use Obsidian Flesh. Luckily, they spawn in an area with lots of cover, so you can easily avoid their projectile attacks and spells, but beware of Meteor Shower. As the location of the quest is fixed, an excellent strategy is to fill the area with traps before taking the quest. If you concentrate them in 1 or 2 corners, you should be able to take out at least 1 and possibly 2 guardians right at the beginning of the fight. The queen herself is too resilient to fall to this strategy. So after killing the guardians on one side, you'll have to run through them to the other side, and make sure that a warrior protected by Spellbreaker has the attention of the queen when you run through, or she can follow you to a location where the walls stop, providing any cover. And don't panic, this quest, although it's one of the hardest in the underworld to get to, is one of the easier Reaper quests.
Hey y'all, this is Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the street. Have you seen any of the new green items that have been dropping? I've seen some of them, and also some screenshots of some others, and some of them look kind of cool, but not all of them. I was on the training island in Kantha with a friend, and he found this really low-level, non-max green monk weapon, and I'm not sure if I really like that. It's almost like if you were to go trick-or-treating and you got a whole bag of loot, but then when you got home and you look in your bag, it's not candy like you expected, but it's a bunch of little boxes of raisins. It's kind of like you got gypped, you know? You got this green, but it's like really low level. I don't know, it's kind of like you got your hopes up until you realize that it's not something that you really wanted after all. But I could add some variety and some nice weapons for people who are still new to the game, which is, I guess that's kind of cool. I do like the way that the drops now show up in the chat display in different colors, like purple or gold, representing what type of items they are. It's nice because now you're much less likely to miss picking up your drops, which is good. Oh, and have you seen the new mini pets? They're so cute. What it is once any of your characters reaches 1 year of age, you receive a present in your inventory. You can check to see how old your character is by using the slash age command. And when you open up your little present, you find out what type of pet it is. It shows up just like a regular item, and it can be bought and sold and traded or transferred just like any other item. What happens is you go outside of town and you double click on this little item, and it'll bring the pet out and it'll walk around. And it does nothing else. It doesn't fight. It doesn't die. It just follows you around and looks cute. One of them that I have is a little baby Hydra, and it's really cute. And a guildie of mine has a tiny little floating jade armor. And I saw yesterday a miniature Titan, which was adorable. They have no purpose whatsoever, but they just look really cute, and I want them all now. So now, you want to know something about UW, right? I actually don't know much about the whole area and the quests and all, but I do know the two-man smite runs pretty darn well, thanks to a guildie who taught me. And I won't mention Loudon's name, otherwise it might swell his head to even larger proportions than it already is. And we also have another guildie who solos UW with his 55 necro, but I've never tried that myself. And I believe there is a non-elite faction spell which works like Spellbreaker. So I'm going to try to find out more about that, because if you can use that like Spellbreaker, it would be like being able to bring Spiteful Spirit and Spellbreaker in your same skill set, which would be kind of cool. The two-man smite team consists of an Invincimonk, which you also can refer to as the 55, and a Necromancer Mesmer, who uses Spiteful Spirit and Sympathetic Visage, which is why they're called the SSSV. UW etiquette dictates that the team shares the cost of the entrance fee 50-50. Ectodrops are also shared equally. Unfortunately, some pugs are not honest about this and are liable to steal entrance fees and or your ecto. So to get around this, I usually only go with people that I know. Your monk is usually either a monk warrior or a monk mesmer. Mine is a mesmer secondary and uses Mantra of Resolve to prevent being interrupted. You'll need enchantments that keep you alive and give you energy, protective spirit and healing breeze, and you'll also need Spellbreaker. And if you've never 55 before, go practice somewhere else where there's nothing that'll strip your enchantments, so it's not as hard. And then once you're skilled at that, then you can go in and attempt UW. The Necro should have, at a minimum, Arcane Echo, Spiteful Spirit, sympathetic visage, a res signet, and some kind of cheap cover hex like Parasitic Bond. I also use Awaken the Blood, Desecrate Enchantments, and Insidious Parasite. I don't really use Insidious Parasite for very much, really only if there's like one monster that I have to take down that's all by itself, and I'll use that one, as that's the one that I'll swap out if I need to bring Blood Ritual instead. Once you get into UW, you should wait for the monk to get ready, casting his enchantments on himself. I also use Mantra of Resolve and then hit Blessed Signet so that I'm back up to full energy. You don't want to rush into any area without enough energy in case you need to cast Spellbreaker. Then the monk heads to the top of the stairs where the three cow-looking things are waiting, and sometimes one of them patrols back and forth. You could wait for him to get grouped with the other guys. Usually up there you'll find that there's a hidden Dying Nightmare that pops up. If you have your music turned down, you'll find that you can hear them pop up. They make a very distinctive sound when they do, so you can be alerted to them before you even see them. At this point, the monk should cast Spellbreaker to keep from getting all his enchantments stripped off, and the necro needs to rush in and kill the nightmare, and you can just kill it by hitting it with your wand or your staff. Then the necro should back off and start killing the cows, or as one of my guildies likes to call them, moo-moos. Have you ever played Diablo 2? I'd have loved to use Spiteful Spirit on those guys. Moo moo, moo moo, moo! But anyway, on these guys, I'll cast Awaken the Blood, Echo, target the first enemy, and then cast SS, next target, SS, next target, Desecrate Enchantments if SS isn't charged yet, and then SS, and they usually all go down by that point. But then I'll use Parasitic Bond if needed, if they still have little health left over. Then you should scout around a little bit at the top of the stairs and see if you can get another Dying Nightmare to pop up, so that it doesn't surprise you later. If you're the monk and you don't have anything aggroed and the nightmare pops up, you can just cast Protective Spirit, and then when the nightmare rends you, it'll strip all your enchantments, but it'll kill him too. So then, of course, you have to recast your enchantments, but that's kind of easier than waiting for Spellbreaker to recharge. So you go around and kill all the cows, and there are some common places where the nightmares spawn, which you get used to pretty fast. If the monk is trying to aggro more than one group, the necro should hang back and wait until they're all positioned, and then go in. Also, if there are only, like, two cows left, the monk can take a couple small steps backwards, and that should reposition the cows so that they're standing right next to each other, which makes Spiteful Spirit much more effective. Then when the whole top area is clear, head back down to where you started from and activate the quest that the Lost Soul gives, and this will release the graspings. As the monk, I'll stand up there where the graspings appear and I'll cast Mantra of Resolve and then tell the necro that I'm ready for him to activate the quest. And then I'll cast Protective Spirit and Healing Breeze. As the necro, what I'll do is head around and cast Awaken, Echo, SS the first target, SS the next target, and then Desecrate on the third target. And that usually makes the whole first group go down. Then the second group comes along pretty fast, and then I'll target SS, target the next one SS, and then third target Desecrate, and that takes care of all those guys too. After you wipe everything out and head into the next chamber, there are two cows that like to patrol close to the entrance of the path, and it's hard to get them to aggro correctly when you're in that narrow corridor, so what I'll like to do is back out of there and lure them into the larger space so that SS works better on them. When there's only two cows, I'll use SS and Parasitic on them both to degen them faster. Then inside the chamber, there is sometimes a Dying Nightmare that patrols in there. It's a pain to try to kill it, and it's usually kind of dangerous and you end up having to res your monk. So what I do nowadays is just slip on past it as they patrol to the right. You go to the left around the corner and you avoid the nightmare altogether. If there's no nightmare and you do go in and kill everything in that area though, you'll probably end up fighting a group of both cows and graspings at the same time. In which case, you should SS the cows first because they have more hit points, so SS will last longer on them than if you were to cast on the graspings, which die pretty fast. Then, once you start heading up the stairs, you'll find your first group of smites. The monk should go in and aggro them, and if you walk up to the side of a wall or something, it'll force all the smites to one side, and it'll group them together. You want them all kind of close together and near you, not like one sticking out to the side and not touching you. Once you have all the aggro held, the necro should cast Sympathetic Visage on the monk, and wait for a couple seconds because the smites are getting drained of their energy, and then start killing the smites. If you cast Awaken, you probably don't need to wait before casting, but I pause for a second, and then I just cast Echo, and then on my first target, I cast both SS and Parasitic Bond, then go on to the next target and use SS and Parasitic Bond, then next target and Desecrate, and usually they just all fall down in unison after that. The reason you want to use Parasitic Bond is just in case the smites are able to smite hex a couple of your hexes off. If you've got that cheap hex over on top of SS, then your SS will keep on working, probably long enough to kill them and you don't have to start recasting all over again. But if you mess up on your sequence of casting or whatnot, usually the best thing to do is to just wait, stop, let yourself recharge back to full energy again, and start over. The same thing goes for if, for instance, the smites aren't draining for some reason. You should have the necro back off and let the monk try to reposition them so that you can get them all bunched together properly and close to you so that they'll start draining, and then start the whole casting sequence over again. The cold fire patrols that you'll encounter, since my monk has the mesmer secondary, I cast my Mantra of Resolve and head towards them. If they're standing close together, I'll rush towards them and try to keep them from moving around. But if they're kind of far apart, you can also try to aggro them and then back up and try to get them to follow you close together so that they start grouping together. And then, as the necro, you just kill these the same way that you kill the cows. You go all around the area, killing all the evil beasts, and that's that. You can also open any chests that you encounter, working towards that treasure hunter title, if you so desire. I both love and hate these new titles. It's making me obsessed with doing all of the bonuses and some other things. And you wouldn't believe I've done so many bonuses, but when you have 6 characters and they're all spread around, it's like I still have like 30 bonuses to do. And I have a guildie that's been scraping every piece of the map looking for something he hasn't uncovered. And he just hit 95% of the Tyrion map and still wants that last few percent to make 100. And I have another guildie who's capped 90 skills. A couple of others who were doing missions drunk, so they now happily report that they're on their way to the drunken title. So it's lots of fun, even though it's somewhat pointless. So that's it for me this week. Until next time, this has been Lady Sinea bringing you the word on the street.
This skills and build segment will focus on the Trapper team build, mostly used to farm UW, as an alternative to the 55 monk SS necro farming build. The Ranger Trapper group is one of the most effective ways to farm the underworld. Trapper groups usually range from 2 to 5 people. The Trappers can be a part of a larger family with a battery, a nuker, and a 55 monk, for example. This larger group isn't necessary, as 3 trappers alone can survive well enough if they know what they're doing. A large trapper group, though, can clear the whole underworld and complete all of the quests there. The player's skill, loot desires, and availability determine the size of groups. And with the assassin joining the game as a possible secondary for a trapper, I think the possibilities are far greater now with their warping spells. Trappers place traps just outside the aggro range of the enemy. After several traps have been placed, a designated puller runs around until a sizable group of enemies is following him. The puller then leads the enemies right into the traps. If done correctly, all of the enemies in the pool will be killed by the traps. Besides the great fun drive from the spectacle of flame and magic that will bring any video card to its knees, the loot is the main object of this build. In a trapper group build, there are two types of mini builds. There's the pooler build that I talked about, and then there's the non-pooler. All members lay down traps and use nature rituals. The pooler has the most dangerous job of the group, though, as he needs to be the one that aggroes the enemies and leads them to the traps without dying. Some examples of skills to use for your trapper can vary greatly, with a few skills being typical for each build. Like for the pooler, you want them to have barbed trap, flame trap, dust trap, the elite spike trap, troll unguent, and whirling defense. The other two slots are optional, mainly depending on your secondary, but some common additions include some sort of nature ritual, like quickening zephyr, and of course some sort of resurrect. For the non-pullers, or the straight trappers, the standard spells include barbed trap, flame trap, dust trap, spike trap, and some sort of nature ritual. This leaves a lot of options for the other slots, but some recommended ones include energizing wind, winnowing, quickening zephyr, or edge of extinction, depending on where you allocate your attribute points, if you have some in beast mastery or not. Also, some sort of self-heal and a resurrection should be included. A good idea if you have a group larger than two or three is to allocate each party member to help with certain functions with their secondary professions. For example, you can have a secondary necro act as a battery of sorts if he has blood ritual. You can have a secondary monk help out with the healing, although they'll more than likely just be rezzing, since one or two hits from most of the creatures in the underworld will kill any ranger immediately. So healing is kind of a moot point when it comes to the underworld. You could also possibly focus a secondary monk into more of the protection spells, if you wanted to go that way. And then there's secondary mesmers, which can be very handy for either interrupting or preventing yourself from being interrupted while laying a trap with a spell like Mantra of Resolve or Mantra of Concentration. A secondary assassin, like I mentioned before, can also be very powerful, mainly because of their shadow-stepping capability. This is something that's still too new to say for sure what works down there, but I see a lot of promise with a ranger-assassin combo in the underworld. Now, as far as the monsters in the underworld, you'll need to take into consideration the differences among them all and how to defeat them effectively. Fighting a smite crawler the same way as fighting a cold fire knight can prove to be disastrous. Here's some pointers on different enemies you'll be up against in the underworld. Bladed ataxes do extensive damage, killing most trappers in 2 to 3 hits, so make sure to kill them with the initial traps if possible. They tend to run away after the first wave of traps if they survive, so you'll have some time to set new traps before they return. Coldfire knights are elementalists and ranged, so when they're static, nature rituals should be placed about 5 meters behind the traps instead of directly over them. The pooler should then run past the spirits on the return, hopefully allowing the cold fires to trigger the traps. Most cold fire groups patrol, and it's relatively easy to trap their path. Dying nightmares can be killed with whatever weapon is equipped, so don't waste your traps on them. They die pretty easily. Grasping darknesses are quick and can easily surround the pooler. They don't deal a lot of damage, but they drain energy, so the pooler can use storm chaser instead of whirling defense when pulling them. They're weak and easily killed by the initial traps, and they tend to stay together when pulled. But if you fail to kill them fast, they're really hard to kill with aggressive trapping. Obsidian behemoths are worm-like creatures that don't move, and they use traps themselves. So have a puller set off the traps, then attack with bows and traps after their own traps have been cleared. With their use of healing springs, one missed bow attack can foil the gradual weakening, wasting another few minutes wearing them down again. Smite crawlers are quick and numerous creatures that can cause havoc if the first wave of traps does not kill them, as they all have many healing and anti-damage spells, which can become quite annoying, such as Shield of Judgment. Often one of them will stray from the group just before reaching the traps, and the pooler should react to this. With Tearweb Driders, you use the same tactic as you did on the Coldfires. And remember to use Troll Ungent before pulling them. Or if you're a secondary assassin, try Shadow Refuge. This skill, in my opinion, is so good at self-healing that I smell a nerf coming on soon. And here's some overall tips for the build. Trap as tightly together as possible without blocking your puller. The puller should ideally be the one standing in front of the others. Start trapping with Dust Trap first, then work your way down to Flame Trap. Always trap with the highest energy costs first. One Dust Trap could be set closer to the enemies than the other traps, so that the monsters are blinded when they get to the group. Non-pullers shouldn't run away from enemies. Instead, they should continue laying traps. This, of course, doesn't apply against ranged enemies. So I guess that'll do it for this episode. I did get some good feedback on the videos that were included in last week's episode, so I plan on making some more videos and including them with future shows, and I'm almost positive that Lady Sinea is also. It's almost like once I started dabbling in this video making, it's just opened up the floodgates for more ideas. Also, tonight I'll be having my hide-and-seek contest, so I'll be able to talk about that more on the next show, but this last week I did a Canthan Name That Place contest in the forums, where I put up 5 pictures of places in Cantha that I took screenshots of, and the person who named all 5 places first correctly was Divine Healing Art, and second place with all 5 answers correctly was Master Zodos. So congratulations to you two. The next contest I'll be putting up will be in the forums again, and it'll be kind of like the Name That Place contest, but a little bit different, and I can't really say too much about it right now, but I think it should prove to be pretty fun. Next week's show will be all about the henchmen, explaining a little bit about who they are and what they do in both Tyria and Cantha. So until then, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.